If you are interested in stories with happy endings, you would be better off reading some other book. With this chilling warning, we enter the world of the Baudelaire orphans, whose lives are forever altered on a gloomy day at Briny Beach. 14-year-old Violet, an inventive genius who ties her hair back when deep in thought, 12-year-old Klaus, a voracious reader with an encyclopedic memory, and baby Sunny, with four remarkably sharp teeth perfect for biting things, all receive devastating news from banker Mr. Poe. Their parents have perished in a terrible fire that consumed their mansion and all their belongings. In an instant, these privileged children lose everything familiar. As they stand among the ashes of their former home, finding only melted and charred remnants of their possessions, the magnitude of their loss becomes unbearably real. Mr. Poe, between fits of coughing, explains that he'll manage their enormous fortune until Violet comes of age and will find them a guardian in the meantime. Little do they know that this tragedy marks merely the first chapter in a series of unfortunate events that will test their resilience, intelligence, and sibling bonds in unimaginable ways. After briefly staying with the Poe family, the children are sent to their closest living relative, Count Olaf, a distant cousin they've never met. Their hopes for comfort vanish upon seeing Olaf's dilapidated house, which leans precariously amid weeds and features disturbing eye imagery throughout. Count Olaf is tall and gaunt, with a single unibrow, dirty clothes, and an eye tattoo on his ankle matching the motifs around his home. Reeking of wine and garlic, he immediately asks about accessing the children's fortune. Their accommodations consist of one filthy room with a single bed for all three, a cardboard box for storage, and rocks instead of toys. Daily life becomes an endless cycle of chores, while each night Olaf returns with his bizarre theater troupe, including a hook-handed man and two white-faced women, drinking loudly as the children try to sleep. The contrast between their previous life of love and this new reality of neglect is stark. Amid their misery, the Baudelaires discover one bright spot, their neighbor Justice Strauss, a kind-hearted judge whose neat home contrasts sharply with Olaf's decrepit dwelling. When Olaf demands they prepare dinner for his theater troupe, they nervously approach Justice Strauss for help. Her response changes everything. "I have just the thing, my library." The word thrills the children, especially Klaus. They follow her into a magnificent room with floor-to-ceiling bookshelves. After weeks of deprivation, this literary oasis feels like salvation. With Justice Strauss's help, they find a Pottinesca sauce recipe and shop for ingredients. As delicious aromas fill the kitchen, the children briefly experience happiness. That hope shatters when Count Olaf returns. Enraged because they didn't prepare roast beef, which he never requested, he strikes Klaus and dangerously dangles Sunny in the air, threatening worse if they disobey. The children realize Justice Strauss's library might be their only refuge in their sea of misfortune. Determined to escape their cruel guardian, the Baudelaires visit Mr. Poe at his bank. Surely, once they explain Olaf's abuse, the single bed, impossible chores, Klaus's bruised face, and Sonny's dangerous dangling, he will rescue them. Their hopes collapse when he dismisses their concerns with more coughing. "Count Olaf is acting in loco parentis," he insists. "Besides, he's an actor. His unusual behavior is probably just his way of relating to children." This moment captures the maddening reality many children face, adults who refuse to believe them. The Baudelaires learn that their testimony is discounted because they are young, while Olaf's authority remains unquestioned despite clear evidence of cruelty. Dejected, they return to their miserable situation, finding solace only in Justice Strauss's books and each other. Huddled on their single bed, reading by dim light, they reaffirm, "At least we have each other." Their sibling bond becomes their greatest strength, a theme that carries through their entire unfortunate journey. Count Olaf suddenly displays unusual kindness, making breakfast and inviting the orphans to join his play, The Marvelous Marriage. Violet is cast as the bride, marrying Olaf's character, while her siblings will be spectators, arousing immediate suspicion. In Justus Strauss's legal books, they uncover Olaf's scheme. The play is actually a legally binding wedding, with Justus Strauss officiating as a real judge and Violet saying, "I do," and signing a document, she would become Olaf's wife, giving him control of the Baudelaire fortune. When confronted, Olaf reveals his backup plan. Sunny has been kidnapped and placed in a birdcage hanging 30 feet above the ground. If Violet refuses to participate, Olaf's associate will drop the cage, killing Sunny. Olaf has masterfully manipulated every adult ally and turned the children's greatest strength, their love for each other, into their vulnerability, forcing a choice between Violet's freedom and Sunny's life. While Klaus sleeps, Violet stays awake with her hair tied in a ribbon, her inventor's mind at work. Using a broken curtain rod, wire from a painting, and strips of Mrs. Poe's clothes tied with a devil's tongue knot, she creates a makeshift grappling hook to rescue Sunny. Her climb fails when the hook catches on the hook-handed man guarding Sunny. Soon, all three Baudelaires are locked in the tower, surrounded by empty wine bottles and eye drawings, with the wedding approaching. As the performance begins, Violet is forced into a wedding dress. Justus Strauss, believing this is merely theater, performs the ceremony. When asked if she takes Count Olaf as her husband, Violet says, "I do," and signs the certificate. Count Olaf's triumph is cut short when Violet announces, "The marriage isn't legal. I signed with my left hand, but I'm right-handed." Justus Strauss confirms this invalidates the marriage. The law requires signing in one's own hand, meaning dominant hand. Violet's brilliant loophole saves her while protecting Sunny, and Mr. Poe declares he'll remove the children from Olaf's care. In the chaos after Violet's revelation, Count Olaf and his troop escape when the theater lights go out. Before vanishing, he threatens, "I'll get my hands on your fortune if it's the last thing I do. And when I have it, I'll kill you and your siblings with my own two hands." Despite Justus Strauss offering to take in the children, Mr. Poe insists they must live with a relative according to their parents' will, their next guardian being Dr. Montgomery Montgomery, a herpetologist. As they leave, Klaus spots Count Olaf watching from across the street. Yet, amid their hardships, losing parents, enduring Olaf's cruelty, and facing adult indifference, the Baudelaires have discovered something vital. Their combined strengths can overcome seemingly impossible obstacles. Violet's inventiveness, Klaus's knowledge, and Sunny's sharp teeth together defeated Olaf's scheme. Whatever misfortunes await, they'll face them with the same courage and unbreakable bond that his proven family can withstand the darkest circumstances.